Hejsan, i förra veckan var det till Dobre Haller och Jernverket kjørte en direkteprat med Grave Miasma och Vulture foran publikum. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv och her får du upptaket från showet.
All right. Welcome to the Till Dovre Faller edition of the Jernverket podcast. Not remember how I speak Trøndersk and start speaking English with Germans and Englishmen instead of Gudbrandsdøl. So be patient if I forget some words here and there. Give a big applause and welcome to Grave Miasma and Vulture. My name is Helle Stenkløv. I have a podcast called Jernverket. If you're not listening to this now, you can listen to it on next Friday. I'll put it out on the internet. Okay, so welcome, guys. How are you doing today? You have to share the microphones.
Yeah, very well. We've been walking around the surroundings here and been enjoying it. So we're doing very well indeed.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we're good as well. We had a good party last night and we just recovered and made our way up here, which was pretty, it's a pretty long way. but yeah, we're good.
There are no mountains in Nordrhein-Westfalen.
Some, but it's pretty much flat earth.
Both of you played shows last night, really good ones. And we should just start by introducing you. Who are you and what do you do in Grave Miasma?
Yoni, vocals, guitar.
Danny, play drums.
Tom, bass.
What about you, Vulture?
I'm Leo and I'm doing vocals.
I'm Andreas and I'm on the bass.
I'm Gideon and I play the drums.
Stefan, guitar.
Mattis, I play the guitar.
So let's start with you, Grave Miasma. How did it all begin with you? You had another name when you all started, the Goat Molester. Tell us the story of the formation of Goat Molester, Grave Miasma.
I was kind of hoping that the old name wouldn't be mentioned today, but it's inevitable that it would. But we started the band in 2002. And we were kind of influenced by just really bestial, ugly bands, like Goat Lord, Arch Goat, even, who played yesterday. These types of bands that are really primitive in terms of their outlook and the music evocations. So we didn't start out as a tribute band, but that was the vibe we were going for before it became kind of a caricature. So eventually we evolved into Grave Miasma.
Caricature, what do you mean by that? Like bands with goat in the name, is that a thing?
It certainly was about 10 years ago. There was a goat explosion and we didn't want to be part of that, so we changed the name.
Yeah, there was a few poignant moments. There was a compilation that came out we were asked to be part of called Goat Watchers United, and I think when that happened, the significance of having goat in the name became silly rather than satanic. So yeah, we decided to change the name, and it preceded a musical evolution as well. We think we've evolved musically, and we'll continue to evolve progressively throughout our career. I think staying the same could have been very easy for us to do because we started out being quite primitive and bestial, but we've got more expressive since.
What about you, Vulture? You're a newer band. You started around 2015. Tell us the story.
Yeah, that's right. We started in 2015, and the basic idea was that back then the German scene was basically... there were a lot of bands more influenced by the whole Black Thrash thing, the old Teutonic bands like Sodom and Creator, the early albums. And we thought that there's a lack of bands who really grab the genre by its roots and go back to the more Bay Area thrash sound, and the more clear speed metal sound, also from Canada like Razor. And so the basic idea was to form a band which revokes the mindset of bands back then. I mean, there were bands like Iron Maiden and Judas Priest, which were the huge bands. And what was the point of these kids to make the step into speeding it up and go full speed metal and where this extreme sound stems from? And that was our basic intention. That's also why we did a rapid fire cover on our first demo, just to embrace this idea and show that the step from basic heavy metal to speed metal isn't that far if you really think about it. So we took a classic Judas Priest song, speed it up a little, and it's a classic speed metal by now.
Absolutely. What about you? How do you work with the songwriting? You've done only one album. The rest are EPs. Why is this?
Well, each record is a product of its time. So there were factors that realized themselves in necessitating being shorter records. And we also take our time when we record songs and write songs. The process is quite laborious, so we have probably about 20 versions of each track that are whittled down into one final track.
I think just to go back on that, it's the music, it's the records, we tried make a whole, so when we reach a point where it's completed, that's the piece, and that's what the record is. The mini albums we've done are sort of like half an hour long, so we could have called them full length records, but they're like five songs each, so they're more like EPs and or mini albums in our eyes than a full record.
But when do you know a song is ready to be published? If you have like 20 versions, where do you even start to pick the right one?
Pretty much when we stop shouting at each other in the rehearsal room.
Is it the same for Vulture? Do you quarrel a lot about the songs before? I heard you hate rehearsing, so.
Yeah. Well, definitely, but since we live far apart from each other, it's always hard to meet up, and so we do regular talks on the internet, and we discuss everything. Very detailed, like to pick a name took like a month. I don't know. It's always a hard discussion. Also about songs, the structures, the lyrics, everything. It takes a lot of time.
I heard you're working with a new album now. How is that going with all these distances and talks and chats?
We basically started writing at the end of last year and finished writing in May, I guess. And in June? About June. And we went to the recording studio at the beginning of August and took like 10 days to record the album. We did it at Hellforge Studio, which is run by an old friend of us. And it turned out pretty great, we think, and it's now in the mixing phase, and we hope that it gets out by March next year.
Are you nervous after the good reviews the Guillotine got?
Mildly, I'd say. I think we're pretty satisfied how the album turned out, even if we had to write it in such a short time, and because the recording date was set a year before or half a year before, and but we're pretty satisfied with it, and we're confident that it will will hold up to the standard, and we will also, I'd say it will surpass our first album.
Looking forward to it. And you, Grave Miasma, when can we expect something from you? How while you're working now with these 20 versions?
Well, we performed a new song last night. We have a few others in the works, and we're working on a full length. It won't be a mini album; it'll be a full length. So we can't say when it will be released, but we're working on it pretty astutely.
Where do you get your inspiration as you're now not trying to not be parodic and inspired by goats?
Well, first and foremost, we're a metal band. And like any other styles of metal, whether it's thrash, black, heavy, you know, there is that aggressive and primordial element to it. And that really, to be honest, is the main instinct and the main inspiration. The lyrical content is formed and formulated afterwards, but the most important thing is the riffs, really. So,
but some of your lyrics, I don't know, a lot of them, are inspired by like Hinduistic. What can you call it? Religion. Why did you start diving into that?
Well. Maybe because I'm a bit of a book nerd, and I read a lot, and I take bits and pieces of things that I have a connection to, be it from a conceptual level or a more personal level. The track we played last night, the lyrics are based on the writings of Gurdjieff. Another track I've written lyrics for are based on a book by Flaubert. So it's something that just has a resonance with me, and then I can really twist it in some lyrical way that's tangible.
So it's mostly inspirational. You don't have to believe what you're singing, or?
I think belief is not the right word if you're speaking of things from a, you know, if you're taking things from literature. I don't believe in Flaubert, but I have a big influence from his writings. Mm. But at the same time, belief is linked to what I get from those.
What about Vulture? How do you work with your lyrics? Do you dive into books, or is it only thrashing all day?
It's basically about killing people most of the time, with a huge variation of weapons. But no, it's in general, we sing a lot about killing, about what our music sounds like, about horror movies. Especially old ones like old Carpenter films or Rosemary's Baby or whatsoever. So we dive into classics and into the typical lyrical themes that are expected.
But why does killing never stop being interesting? Like, why why is this a certain theme, especially in speed metal, death?
Because it just fits the aesthetics of the music. The riffs are slaying, so the lyrics gotta slay as well. That's basically it.
I forgot to tell you guys that you can ask each other whatever you want. If you want to ask Vulture something and the other way around.
I actually have a question. So yeah. Crushing irons, is that about like a really, really intense Sunday afternoon ironing shirts with...
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. It is.
All right. Ironing shirts can. Yeah, it does. Ironing shirts is like the worst. In Norway, we celebrate the 17th of May. It's our national day. Everybody are ironing their shirts at the same day, 5 minutes before they're going outside. Yeah, I can see the anger in the faces of the people sitting here thinking about the constitutional day. All right, but we can't only talk about like serious stuff like this. We need some Spinal Tap-ish stories. And I told you guys to start thinking about that because most bands claim that they've never experienced anything like that. We've never lost a plane. We've never been drunk. We've never had a crazy fan. But I don't believe that. Grab me, Osmo.
To be honest, we've had a pretty solid history, apart from one episode in L.A.
Yeah.
So, okay, a bit of background. I was living abroad at the time, and I had a separate plane ticket to three other members of the band. In the space of an hour and a half, there was a huge storm. So the three other guys had gone on their flight. I'd missed my flight because it was cancelled. The show still went ahead in LA. Apparently it was a huge show. I didn't know. I didn't see it. But the show was instrumental as a three-piece. I was hoping that at least one of the guys would know some of the lyrics from listening to the songs numerous times, but no one did. No one even screamed anything into the microphone at certain points, so it was an instrumental. Danny, you can give some more info because you were there.
I was there, yeah. And we tried to get the crowd involved as well. We'd imagine that like out of about 200 people, one of them would have known the lyrics and wanted to get up on stage, but no one did. So it was a bit of a strange show. We could have just not played, but we decided to just play all the older bestial stuff without the main guy in the band play. People still enjoyed it and like made a killing on merch, but yeah, it was a really fucking bizarre gig to play. So.
I also have to say that some kind of weird cosmic law has meant that that show is the most posted show on YouTube in terms of footage. So knock yourselves out, guys. But Tom, you have an actual Spinal Tap esque.
I wasn't with Grave Miles, was I? Still
good. Give it to the crowd.
Yeah, it wasn't actually with Grave Meisner, but it's probably with a fellow that you all know. Last year, we were on tour with Mayhem for a month and literally had the Spinal Tap moment of being lost backstage. And we were sat in our backstage room and who pops in was Necro Butcher, all dressed up, going, "Where's the stage? Where's the stage?" as he was legging it through all the backstage, trying to find it. It was the definition of Spinal Tap moment. But yeah, that was good.
Just being in a band is Spinal Tap enough. You don't need these specific stories. Every day in a band is some element of Spinal Tap. Mm.
There's enough bands now, so we need to tell them these stories so they don't start more shitty bands, you know. What about you, Vulture? There's five of you. So I would be surprised if none of you ever had encountered anything slightly weird or crazy.
So far, we never missed a flight, but we're always very drunk. I guess, and that's, that's resulting in a lot of strange moments. So far, I don't know if any of these are worth mentioning or worth being a Spinal Tap moment.
Oh, yeah, I think they are. You would be surprised.
Yeah? Okay. I don't know. Like, one time we broke a table backstage and got a lot of shit for that. That was not so funny. Now it's past 2 years. So maybe it's a little bit funny now. We got a lot of shit, a lot of messages from all over the world for being traitors of the scene. But we paid everything right away, so we are the good guys in this story. A whole table, yeah.
Things have turned for rock and roll. You can't wreck anything anymore. What's happened?
I don't know. It's not nice to ruin somebody else's stuff.
That's true.
And we paid it right away, but it was definitely, maybe this is one of those moments.
Lesson of the day, you guys.
Yeah.
One evening left, don't wreck your room.
Not in Belgium.
But what about, what do you do when you're not playing in a band? Do you have some spare time activities you like to do that are like, do you, I don't know, knit scarves or do clay figurines or something like that? Do you have hobbies that are not music?
Oh my God. Probably not. Not from me. But I think some of us are gaming. What do the rest of you guys do, actually?
Nothing, no, apparently.
Maybe collecting vinyls and killing poses.
What about you, Grammy Osmo? Killing any posers lately?
We killed too many poses when we were younger for them, any to be left surviving. There are none left. Not even a new generation of poses.
So everyone standing here are true.
they've come to listen to us speaking, then yeah, sure.
Or they just have nothing better to do because they don't have hobbies either. So I just to check the time here. It's of course, if someone in the audience has questions for the bands, you just lift your hand and tell us. We still have 10 minutes left of this interview. We're now at Dombås, this very scenic, nice place with big mountains. And when you're here as a tourist, you either go walking, skiing, you watch musk oxes, and you eat waffles and cakes. But what if we want to go where you come from? You come from England, like the London area, and everyone's been there. We've seen Big Ben. What else to do in London?
Drink.
You don't have any good beers. The microbrewery culture hasn't come.
Oh, it certainly has. Oh, certainly has.
Tell us.
Does anyone want to hear about the numerous craft beer breweries? Probably not. But there's a huge craft beer scene in London. And to be honest, that's the only interesting thing that is not cultural. So galleries, etc. That's all very, very interesting if you're a tourist and if you're a local as well. But to be honest, from a personal point of view, I don't really do much in London, but I try to get outside of London as often as I can to see other parts of the country, which are very enriched by natural beauty.
We're brothers. We grew up together in suburban London. There's a lot to do in London. There's a lot of galleries, shows, exhibitions. There's just a huge city with a lot of cultural stuff going on. So if you are going to come to London, there's loads of stuff to see. But Tom's from the Midlands.
The Midlands is shite, so don't go there. But Bristol's not too bad, which is where I live at the minute, which is southwest. There's a lot of hippies there, but if you like acid and DMT and things like that, it's a good place. Just come around my house, actually. That'd be the best place for it. But it's quite nice because it's near Wales, which obviously isn't England, but South Wales, and that's actually quite a nice area. And the southwest, in terms of the countryside, is quite nice. Don't know if it's as nice as this place, but it's not too bad.
What about Germany? You're from the Nordrhein-Westfalen area. What to do there?
Well, that really depends on where you live in this. It's one of the most of the biggest departments in Germany, and you can really do a lot of stuff. We're living close to the Ruhr area, and of course it's crowded with cities like Dortmund, Essen, Bochum. So there's obviously also football teams. We like to go to the stadium here and there. And mostly to Borussia Dortmund. Stefan and I are big fans. And there are always some crazy parties around. So when we're not on tour with Vulture, we try to get some adventure there and fuck things up. And it's always a mess. It's always a mess, but. We always get out in one piece, so so it's fine.
Just being German.
Yeah.
But what if there were some posers out here that didn't like good music? Do you have some recommendations of really good bands that you would like them to listen to? Except Grave Miasma, of course.
Stay home and listen to some music that you like. I don't really... Too old to care about those things, you know?
I like that. And you?
Power Lord.
Power
Lord. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. This band.
What about Lucifer?
Lucifer? Mm-hmm. The C or the Z Lucifer?
The right Lucifer. Did you get...
the only Lucifer.
Did you get angry when that Swedish chick got your name and started another band that...
Because she did it before us. That's the thing. We took the name and revealed it like 2 months later and 1 month before we started.
So no? She's the one being angry.
Yeah, maybe. She should be.
Okay, so just to warm up the audience, I hope you have prepared some questions for the bands. But we have some really stupid yes, no questions or either this or that questions. You need to answer fast. The first one is, or it's not a question actually. It's what's a påstånd in English? Statement, yeah. Thank you. Judas Priest are superior to Iron Maiden.
A 1,000,000%, yes.
Yes, 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 yes.
I don't
yes,
care what
yes.
anyone says, Priest is the fucking best metal band ever.
Yes, 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 yes.
So
yes.
What does the audience mean? Judas Priest are superior to Iron Maiden.
Are the Niflheim guys going to listen to this?
I hope not. They will.
I'm going to say it. I'm really not a Maiden fan.
Get a secret.
It's out there. It's on the internet now. It's
get a secret address now. Okay. Who would you rather wake up with at the Nidrosian Black Mass Day 5? Either with the Ted Nugent or Dave Mustaine?
Oh.
If I woke up next to Dave Mustaine, I'd shave his head and reveal to the world he was actually Vladimir Putin.
Ted Nugent will take people hunting, I guess. So, you know, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, you could ride a muskox with him.
Yeah, he'd go on a few rants. It'd be good entertainment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd pick Mustaine. If I had to.
London Pride or Gay Pride?
What?
I don't know. Isn't London Pride a beer?
You can drink London Pride, but I wouldn't want to drink Gay Pride.
Good question. Good answer. Sorry. Sauerkraut or Krautrock?
Krautrock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a Krautrock maniac, so that's an easy one.
Would you rather go to a pool with Chris Holmes or go to school with the Ramones?
What kind of question is that? Chris Holmes all the way. I'd even go to a pool with Chris Holmes with him doing his new solo stuff, you know?
Yeah. I'd go to a pool with his mother.
You're not a Ramones fan, I understand. Vulture?
Chris Holmes, mm-hmm. All the way.
Chris Holmes is winning over Ramones, okay. And then, if heavy metal is the law, why are Judas Priest breaking it? Have you ever reflected upon this?
No, so far not. I guess now I have to.
But Merciful Fate answered that one. They just said, "Don't break the oath."
So, yeah, well,
they
true.
Tape it over the crap.
Thank you.
That's true. Okay, so then we have a few minutes for questions from the audience. Do any of you wonder about something about these guys that now have suffered the Jernverket curse? You can say them in Norwegian if you're afraid to speak English in the microphone. I know it's scary. Spørsmål for oss alle. Gunvor? Hvor slangen? Slangen promised us to ask some questions, but he didn't come. He's afraid. And so are the audience too. Don't you have anything left in you after these 3 days of heavy metal? Do you even like heavy metal? No. No, they don't. Okay. So I guess we just have to break the silence that started to be a bit... start preparing for ritual death at 6 o'clock. If you didn't catch the whole interview, Jernverket is a podcast, so we will publish this next Friday. There are some flyers here with the address. It's impossible to say Jernverket in English. So jernverket.com, nice podcast for you all there. And thank you guys for coming and chatting with me and with this audience.
Welcome.
Thank you, Vulture. Grey Miasma, my big applause for the bands. Woohoo! Thanks a lot, guys. Do you have any last words before I let you go?
No, it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure to visit this fantastic festival and these surroundings. So will be leaving very satisfied.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, have a great time tonight, people. Drink beers, have fun, listen to Grey Miasma Vulture and Jernverket. See you later. Yeah, applause. Good, thanks.
Du har hørt et opptak fra Til Dovre Faller, der Grave Miasma og Vulture stilte direkte prat med publikum på plass. Neste episode ligger allerede ut, og der får du høre et telefonintervju med Glenn Tipton fra Judas Priest, innspilt I 2015. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv, og Jernverket podcast gir deg et nytt eller gammelt hardrock-intervju hver fredag. Abonner via podcast-appen din eller hør det på jernverket.com. Ellers oppfordrer jeg deg til å følge Jernverket på Facebook og Instagram for å få med deg rykter, konkurranser og diskusjoner. Akkurat nå kan du vinne månedens utgivelse fra Katakomben Platebutikk, en Leonov-plat eller billetter til Kadaver og Monolord. Vi høres!